tells you is not accurate. And that makes life a little bit difficult. It's very interesting. You make a whole bunch of mistakes, but the conclusion is right. How they get there is differently than we would get there. I'll tell you what the main thing you have to understand is. Main thing, I think I might have said it to you once before, is they did not understand the circulatory system. Anything that looked like a pipe going someplace belonged to the same system. So that you have respiratory and circulatory all mixed up. In addition, they didn't know the function. In other words, the best way to remember it is the Chacham Tzvi, which I mentioned to you once before. That the function of the heart was to warm the air before it goes to the lungs. That pretty well sums up anything you have to say. Okay. So we're going to have some of it now. First, pick up again from the Gemara. Sadi Beis on the Beis. Okay. When we run through, pick up the Omer again from the Noeg B'Sholil, run through it quickly. We have it 6-7 lines from the top. The Noeg B'Sholil. That Yid Anoshe refers also, is also halachically valid as a Yid Anoshe, right, on a shalil, on a live born fetus. Okay. Also known as a Ben Pekua, a cesarean section. Amar Shmuel, the Chelbo Muto. Moa had a klal based upon a pasuk in Ma'iko. Asher, pasuk what exactly? Asher besocho yeyochel. Basically. Therefore, whatever is found inside the animal is nitar b'shchita. Therefore, chelev giranoshe, which is also for the mother, will not apply to the shalil. Or does it apply? Comes the Gemara and says, no, it's noi b'shalil. But it's a machlokis. Amar Shmuel, and the chelev is also mutar. Right? And that is the divrei hakol. An b'shalil is a machlokis. Yudin Rabona, Yudin Rameos, but as far as the Chelev, no machlokis, right? So the Gemara asks, Chelbo Muto, the Divri Hakol? I can learn a bitri or a statement. Muto, the Divri Hakol. But better to learn it a question. The Divri Hakol, everybody agrees to that? Chelbo demai, what chelo are you talking about? Ilema de shalil, it's not true. Homiflik pligibo. You can't say it's everybody agrees. The sanya noig b'shalil b'chelbo also divir amir. Rabbi Yudah says the one who says ena noig b'shalil b'chelbo muto. V'yom ha-Rabbi Lozo Amar Rav Osher, Machlokes beben Tisha Chai. Right? Now we explain what we mean by Shalil. Right? Live born animal. V'holach amei l'shitoso, amei l'shitoso. This is relatively repetitive. The Gemara is very explanatory here. What? Elo, therefore, it cannot be that you tell me that chelev is mutol divrei Yaakov. So maybe I'm not talking about the chelev. Maybe I'm talking about the chelev, the shumon on the gid. Ela chelbo the gid. Well, that's not true either. It's also not unanimous. Homiflik pligi. We see there is a machlokas of that. Disanya gid anoshe mechateit achav v'chomokom shehu. You have to dig out all the tributaries of the gid anoshe. V'chotech shamno. And you have to remove the fat. Meikro. Cleaning. Clean removal. As meikro means. Clean it right from its origin. Divrei Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not true. Gomamo imashofi. And Rabbi Yehuda says, not true. All you have to do is scrape off the top. Therefore, clearly, that's also a machlokas. So what did you mean that everybody agrees? Nobody seems to agree to anything. And for the Gemara, no. Lolam chelbo de gid. We're talking about the chel of the gid. And everybody agrees that the chel of the gid, the chelbo is mutter. Only Rav Meir made it a rabbon. Rav Meir held that the rabbon arrested it. So the Mishnah is talking about midin Torah, midin Daraisa, chelbo mutter. Ella what? Right? Lolam chelbo de gid. Right? And it's mutter. But the Moda Shmuel, who quotes Rameir, del Rameir mid Rabbonan also. It's only also mid Rabbonan. The Sanya, as we learned, Vishamno Muto Vyusol Kdoshenogo Isu. Right? My love, who said this thing? That it's what? That really it's Muto, but Nogo Isu. But I made that clear to you last time. It's not Minog Yisrael. We're not talking about Nogo Yisrael. It's also Al Minog. It's also Mid Rabbonon. Rabbonon, look at the lotion. Where is this? Look at the language of Rashi. Careful language of Rashi. Umod Shmuel. Look at the Rashi. Afagav di Benatoro Muto. Ko Osole Rameir Mid Rabbonon. What's a Norgubo? The way to remember it is from Hilchos Nida. Rab Zeira said, right? Now what? That Nos Yisroel Echmiru Al Atzmam, right? Yeah? So that they don't differentiate between Nida and Zovah. And they always sit Shiva Nikiyim even on a Nida. Even a Nida. Remember, if she sees down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it stops on the 7th day, right? Then the 8th day, the night of the 7th, after the 7th day, beginning 8th day, she go to Mikra. And by all, nowadays, the halacha is, after that, she has to count 7 Shiva Nikiyim. That's Benosh Yisrael Echmir Olasmo. I never understood where they really were so. How they found out? I mean, they had a ladies' convention, and they got a lady speaker. She passed me the shayla. Rab Zeir said, "Okay, you're on. It's a good gzeira." Yeah, also pshat. These are the rabbonon. These gzeiras rabbonon. Why? They saw that Benos Yisrael Echmir Lasmon because you couldn't keep track. It's best to remember it in the Shitas HaRambam. According to Shitas HaRambam, Nida Zova is from the day of her first menstruation. Every 7 days she's a Nida, every 11 days she's a Zova. 11 days, you know. You have to keep track. She became a Nida when she was 12 years old, right? Go keep track. She's now 30 years old. She has to remember where she's on the 7 day cycle, on the 11 day cycle. So just too difficult. That's why Hichmiru al Asma, you're dealing with an Isa Kores, so they were Machmir Asma. Well, Rabbanon saw that, that's really a problem. They made Exeir the Rabbanon on it. But still, the power is not feminism, it's not women's power, it's a Takonos Chachomim. Okay? Feitig Mara, so what if they said that Sham no muto be Yisrael kadosh no go Yisrael? Who says this, Rameir? I don't remember seeing this as a quote from Rameir. My love, Rameir he must be muto min haTorah v'osem min Rabbanan. Said me, my, why do you think so? Vilma Rab Yudahi, right? Who holds that it's muto? Avol Rab Meir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's mutter, then they made exeret rabbanon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's mutter, made exeret rabbanon. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's also midaraisa. Avol Rabbi Meir midaraisa nama also. And for the Gemara, lo salkadaitach. No. Meaning, my first assumption is better. Lo salkadaitach. It doesn't make good sense to learn that way. That really Rameh holds is also midaraisa. Why? The Sanya, Gid Hanoshe, Mechateit Acha B'chol Mokom Shehu, V'sham No Muto. What do you do with that braisa? There's a braisa that says, the Gid Hanoshe, right? Mechateit Acha. You have to dig out all the tributaries. That's Rameh's lotion. Rameh introduced that lotion of Machate Tachov, right? B'chol Mokom Shehu. And it says, V'sham Namuto, Man Shamet Leid Yisra Chatito. Who was the one that used that language? B'chote Tachov. Therefore, I surmise it's the same Rameh, it's the same language, right? Man Shamet Leid Yisra Chatito, Rameh. V'ka Omar Sham Namuto. And it says that the Shemin Agir is Muto. Therefore, it must be Rav Meir who says the Sham no Muto, but the Rabbanan came and made an Iser on it. Here, let me just make a comment. There, you have to understand, how is it possible to have this next Machlokis? Omar Rav Yitzchak Ashmur Bar Marta, Omar Rav, Lo'osu Torah ela kinokunu shebo. Gid Hanosh is not also. You're yelling about the Shemen Shal Gid, right? Gid Hanosh is perfectly muto. What's also? The little tributaries that go into the muscle, right? That innervate the muscle, that's what's also. Those you got to cut out. First of all, how do you do that? That's an interesting thing. How do you find those? I mean, any people ever take biology laboratory, we did a dissection. In the muscle, you're going to see the nerve in the muscle. Baruch Hashem, you can find the spinal cord. Yeah. You find the noctis shabot, right? Yeah. Nevertheless, the biggest kashi is, what happened until the time of the Gemara? I mean, something must have been going on. They ate meat, they shefted animals, they knew about the Isa Gid Hanoshe. How did it get lost into our Machlokes? So it's interesting to note that. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens when you chase us from country to country and you destroy Achachomim, you slaughter Achachomim, and 5, 6, 7 remain. And the tradition has to pick up again. So, yeah. You can forget about Agid Hanoshe, which is Niso, the Raisa, Posik, and the Torah, no problem. So comes Rav and says that the Agid Hanoshe isn't also. Lo Osro Torah, Ela Kenokle Shebo. Look at Rashi. What's bothering the Gemara or this shita of Rav is something we mentioned previously. Not all parts of a treifa animal is treif. Not all parts of a chazer are treif. We said the atzomos, the inedible parts, right, are not treif. Well, if the gid anoshe is, as Ulu will say, it's eight ba'almo, it doesn't make sense that it should be also. Isur applies to the edible parts of the animal. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel b'amatam Rav lo osu tor ala kenoknu shebo. Look at read the Rashi. Gidin dakin. You have it. Haholchin beorach hayerach mitachas haboso migid hachitzon legid hapnimi. So already the Miri, other Meforshim mentioned. Don't start up with this Rashi. He didn't mean it. Not didn't mean to say that the gida aprimi get chitzon have neurons that join together. No, each one is an independent one. No, it doesn't mean. It seems to me. Migid achitzon ligid apnimi would indicate, right, you read it quickly, it means that the gid achitzon and gid apnimi have a connection to the knoknos. No, it's not true. That's a mesitus. What it means to say is, migid achitzon ligid apnimi, meaning that area of meat that covers from gid achitzon to gid apnimi, that's innervated by the knoknos. The hein hein hasurin lefishen rakin v'no sentam, avol gid atzmo shuberosh hashufi hey koshehu beitz v'almahu. Therefore, Rav couldn't see why it should be also. Comes along, Ula Omar. Yep, I don't disagree. We agree that it's eitz v'almahu that ain't begidin v'no sentam. No machlokas on the fact. Nevertheless, Amarule Eitzu Vatore Chiva Olov. Yeah, the bone's not, right? The Gid Anoshe, yeah. Why? The same reason that the meat is also. You understand why the meat is also? It is also because Kodesh Boko said so. Gid Anoshe also because Kodesh Boko said so. Period.
The Gid Achitzon and the Gid Panimi are not connected? Meaning, doesn't the Gid Achitzon connect to the panini?
No, the two are not connected. No. who has the asco? Give me the first page. The first page I get in Russian. Okay. His get a pizza and it's a get a panini. Amigis is the gira apnimi, it's the gira chitzon.
These are the.
But yeah, they go into the flesh, right. But there's no connection between this and this.
There's a. The gira chitzon leaves the spinal cord at an earlier vertebrae than the. Both come from the spinal cord. Because the Sukha Suvin shows two alternative views of what the Gid Apnimi is. I don't see that one that says so there, I think, and another one.
If ever you need a lawyer, you pick the author of the Sukha Suvin. The way he twists and turns in trying to find some rational explanation. It still doesn't work out.
I understand, but he tells us about what the Gid Apnimi is. But I understand the other thing. It says it comes off from the Gid
Apnimi. Maybe I should take in the Sikha school and have it available. I told you I appreciate his line drawings, unlike pictures, which then need a Pirush Rashi on the picture. His line drawings are far more elucidating. Amar Rabaya, Kavosei de Ula Mistabor. Why? Right, what? That is what? that Eitzu ba'alma ba'torah is. The Omar Rav Sheshis, Omar Rav Asi, Chutin shebechelev, Asurin, bechayovim aleihem. Here you're on your own. What he means by chutin shebechelev? There's no other way to learn pshat. He means the knoknos that enter into the fat. Okay. Just like knoknos enter into the meat, enter into the chelev. That chelev, he says, right? Chutin shebechelev are asurin, right? But en chayov malei, meaning it's also midarabona. The midaraisa, the knoknos that go into the fat, are not gira nashe. But if in the fat is not good anosha, then in the meat is also not gira anosha. Therefore, to say that gira anosha applies only to the knoknos doesn't make sense.
Could it mean that ein chayv mishum chayv?
No, ein chayv meaning not chayv anachos. Yeah, but it's only mit rabbanan. You go online, the raisa without chatos, it's much mit rabbanan. Yeah, the Rasha learns mit rabbanan. Okay? So what does it mean? Say, if you tell me that the knoknos are also, so why in the chelev is not also? It comes from the same gilanosh. Some enter into chelev, some enter into boso. So do we see you're going to tell me that the chelev, that those in the chelev are muto, those in the boso are also kept the meshugi beron. So the gilanosh is muto, the knoknos are also, right? But if it's in the chelev, it becomes muto again. Therefore, it makes better sense to learn that the knoknos are muto. If it's muto in the chelev, it's muto in the basa too. Therefore, what the gidanosha has to apply to the gidanosha. Again, alma, why you tell me chelev amar rachmana v'lo chutin? The Torah asa the chelev, then asa the gida the chutin in the chelev, right? Hachenami gida amar rachmana v'lo knoknos. You people never experienced it, but how did they possibly think that it's technically possible for the human, with human dexterity or something, to isolate and remove the knoknos shebechelev with the knoknos himself covered by fat, covered by myelin sheath? Okay. Gufa. Amar Rav Sheshis. Amar Rav Sheshis. Amar Rav Asi. Chutin shebechelev asurin ve'en chayovim aleihem. Shebekulyo. The chutin that enter into the kidney. Asurin ve'en chayovim aleihem. Lovan kulya. The white in the kidney. Rebbe v'Rab Chia chad amar chad osa v'chad shori. Rabba memartei tovai. Rabba was careful to dig it out, right? In other words, like what the language, the mishare shachov. Mechate tachov, right? Mechate tachov and memare tachov mean the same thing. Why the Gemara changed the language, I don't know. Both held it's also. You have to remove it. Right? Rav Yochanan memare tle. Rav Yochanan also. Rav Asi? Goimle. Rav Asi just removed the fat flush with the kidney. Look at Rashi Loshon, right? Hachofui, what's covering? Avo bekulya ochal, but what you, the fat that you found in the kidney, right? That he ate, even though maybe the same kinokulos are in there. Amar Abaye, kavosei de rabasim esabo. Why? The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Chelev shabosa chofa oso muto. Almo, I'll explain that to you in a minute. Almo sha'al haksolim, Omar Rahmana, Vloshe besoch haksolim. Hachanami sha'al hakloyos, Omar Rahmana, Vloshe besoch hakloyos. Okay. What's happened over here is seem to get lost with chelev, but we have to stick with the kinokulos, right? When he said, what are we talking about? Chutin, we're still on the chutin, on the kinokulos. So what did he say? The kinokulos that are on the chelev, right, we have a problem with it. There's kinoknos are also, but the chelev is mutter. The Gemara tells us, chelev shabosa chofa oso, any piece of meat that overlays fat, which is the norm when you, if it would be meat overlying fat, you wouldn't pay money for a steak, right? You couldn't chew it, right? Steak becomes steak because it has in it something you shouldn't be eating, right? The fat, right? Therefore, surely, meat and fat, you can't tell me your chelev is all over the animal and you won't eat any meat. So I have a klal. If I have a hunk of meat, a muscle meat, and underneath is fat, that's obviously that fat and the meat go together. That's not chelev. I define it now chelev, mind you. We switched off now, it's Issa Chelev. There's no Issa Chelev. What's Chelev? I know that if it's a piece of meat, right, that overlays fat, that fat couldn't be Chelev. Okay? But what's my problem? My problem is I lost my kinoknos. You told me that what? The Chelev shavosa chofa oso muto. Right? Why? I, the Torah said, a Chelev sha'al haksolim, right? That's part of chelev shalak solim that goes on the mizbeach. Whatever goes on the mizbeach is chelev that's also for us to eat. So, oh, that's not alak solim. Chelev alak solim, what? It means alak solim, not betochak solim. It means the fat that's over the meat, not the fat that's under the meat. So any fat that's overlaid by muscle, that's not chelev. Only chelev could be chelev that overlays the meat, the muscle. I think that you have a picture there where he tries, I saw the Hebrew edition. I forgot to all myself. Right? He shows, right? Pretty much, okay. He's showing a layer of fat right, under a layer of muscle. The dark part is the muscle, the light part is the fat. Right. Therefore, what? When the Torah said, Chelev shalak solim. Then it says the chelev shalak kloyos is also called chelev. The chelev shalak kloyos is chelev, but chelev is in the kloyos, that's not chelev. But I'm not talking about chelev. My interest is knoknos. But you tell me you ate the chelev that's in the kidney, that's okay. All he did was remove the external, the shofi, and the fat that's in the kidney. Rabasi ate. That's because what's inside doesn't apply. What's inside is covered by something which is mutu. If it's covered by a layer that's mutu, then the inside can't be also. Mimele, the same thing applied to the kenoknos. So the kenoknos, since the chelev that's covered by muscle is mutu, the chelev that's in the kidney is mutu. Now you tell me there are kenoknos that are going in there, so they're going in there. But there can't be an isur. That's mistava like havasi. Right? Only that which was external, visible, that's kosmos. I'd be much happier saying pshat this way if I knew what the kenoknos were. If I knew really what they're referring to. They're really referring to thin nerve extensions. I mean,
aren't those microscopic?
What level, huh?
Aren't those microscopic?
They what?
Aren't they microscopic?
At one point, they call microscopic, but before that, I mean, the Gina Noshe is not microscopic. And when the Gina Noshe starts branching out, it's not microscopic. And obviously, when it becomes microscopic, they don't see. That's B'chate Nachom, there's nothing there. But referring to some at some level, which is called kenoknos.
I'm not sure I understand the difference between chelev sha'al ha'ksalim and sha'besal
ha'ksalim. Right. Since it said chelev al ha'ksalim.
I'm saying just physically. What's the difference?
Right.
What are they? As in what's on top and what's on bottom.
Yeah, that's all.
But how do you define top? And as in, does besal ha'ksalim mean top. Closer to the bone?
Top is from the skin down. From the high down. That's okay. That's not a problem. What's dorsal ventral, but that's the only thing that's difficult is to know exactly what they're talking about, but nevertheless, I think I mentioned to you in the first day, I think I just sort of introduced a little bit of our problem with anatomy there, that the I wanted to point one to make. Nevertheless, well, it says it clearly. Muscle on top of fat, right, that cannot be chelev. Right. Chelev is basically distinct from the muscle. Yeah, I explained to you the first day you introduced the whole topic of chelev that the diaphragm, known to the butcher trade as the tenderloin, right, is a division point. Below the tenderloin, below the diaphragm is chelev. Above the diaphragm is shumen. But there are chute chelev that extend, and therefore the butcher has to know the Kabbalah what chute chelev he's supposed to remove. Okay. I told you that some people are machmir not to eat tenderloin. Because tenderloin, the top of the tenderloin is covered with fat. That fat is kosher. The bottom of the tenderloin is chelev, right? So the butcher better know what's up and what's down, right there. Some want to mock me there, but they want to eat the tenderloin because too much danger that the butcher may make a mistake. We paskin that he's neman al chelev, therefore he's supposed to know what he's doing. He's neman. So if you like tenderloin, I haven't seen that for many years. You know the name, but it's old. It exists. Yeah, it is a thin sheet of muscle. the diaphragm. Okay. Gufa. Now we get lost into Hilchos Chelev. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yuda, Amar Shmuel, Chelev Shabosor Kofa Uso is always mutar. Any. Any that really means, are you really sure? Or any is not so. Because Omar Rababa, Omar Abuda, Omar Shmuel, Hai Talbo, Talbo is Chelev, right? Hai Talbo, the fat, the Tusi Mosni, that's under the, I said tenderloin, no, under the loins of the animal, which is the main part of the animal that we eat, right? The big muscle of the animals, the shoulder muscle, the leg muscle, etc., right? That's Tusi Mosna, is also, and is covered by muscle. Amar Abaye, no, we're referring to the fat in part of the animal. Behemo Bechaya Puki Mifrike. When the animal is alive and walking, right, that area, the muscle moves away from the fat, so that the muscle doesn't cover the fat in that area. That's what we're talking about. The area which, when the animal is active, is actively walking, that muscle moves away from the layer underlying fat. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is something which is a statement which all of us could echo. I'm not a butcher. Lav bar tavchana, I'm not the son of a butcher, right? All I can tell you that I heard that halacha. Unehirna, I recall the hochi have amr b'midrasha. That's how they taught in the Beis Medrash. Behemo bechayel pruki mifriki. That an animal, when it's active, alive, right, there's an area that reveals itself, moves itself off. That's what they're talking about. That's when you have a fat covered by muscle and the fat is chelev. But it's not covered by muscle all the time. It's only covered by muscle when the animal is stationary, when the animal is quiescent. When the animal is active, that muscle moves away from that area, moves off the area, therefore that's still called chelev, it's not called tusi, that's called under muscle. It's not muscle agabov. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chelev, shala hemsis, ubeis hakosos, asurin. The animal has four stomachs. The keres is the fermentation stomach. That's where the grass is fermented by bacteria, fungi, algae that's in the earth that the animal swallows. They digest the cellulose. Mammals don't have cellulase enzyme. We can't digest cellulose. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that the bacteria do the job. From there, the thing goes to a second stomach. The second stomach has in it kind of fibrils. I don't know what it does. Anyway, it works it up some more. Yeah. It then goes up to the mouth and the animal chews it. What's in the second stomach is called cud, C-U-D. So the cow is chewing its cud. And then sends it down No, maybe miss the stomach, right? Sorry. There, the second stomach mixes up and ferments further. Then it goes to the third stomach, where the stomach works it up and it comes out into pellets, into little pancakes. Right? That's the cud. The animal then regurgitates that and chews it with its back teeth, grinds it up very fine, and then swallows it into a stomach like our stomach where digestion occurs. Okay? That Chazal had straight. Didn't have straight is hard to explain that the shofan and aneves is a cud chewing animal. Okay. The Torah says that it's malagerum or pasalohifrisa. It doesn't have cloven hoofs, but it does chew its cud. Whatever shofan aneves is, the big machlokas for everybody. I was taught by my Rebbe in Cheder that Shofan Aneves is little camelina, is alpaca and vicuna there. In later years I found that Schitte, German Schitte, he was born in Germany. That's a German, as I was taught there, one of the Gedolim in Germany showed that the Yiddish word hoz is how they translate rabbit. Hoz, we think it's a rabbit, because rabbit is now called a hoz. That the word hoz in Arabic is a little camel. That is quoted by the name of Rav Scheinberger's itself. That's the only good explanation there is. All the rest is apologetica. The rabbit moves its lips, it looks like it's chewing. So therefore they called it a chewing a cud animal. The trouble is that the Gemara and Nuntes says that this is one of the proofs that God made the world, that there's a God in this world. Right? Take a look at the Tesoman Aleph. It says, right there, Esagomo Kimalagerahu, Shalit Bolomo Yodea, Ein Lo Dobo Malagera Betome Elagamo. Right? He doesn't mention Tophar Adavas either, it's interesting, but there. But this is a test that Shalit Bolom. How would God know all the animals in the world, which is, and the Chazir is the only one that has a cloven hoof and doesn't chew its cud. How would God know it? What's doing in the Amazon jungle? What's doing in Vietnam? There, they've been finding new animals there all the time, there, but they never found an animal, right, that chews its cud, right, and doesn't have a cloven hoof, except the gamol, it says. Never found anything other than the chazir. You people don't read this stuff, but in the late 1980s, in California, which place? There's a big zoo in California, San Diego. The San Diego Zoo, the curator published that they brought him a pig from Vietnam, and it has two stomachs. Right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to San Diego. Yeah. I didn't go there for that purpose only, but I was invited to give a lecture in San Diego there. So I went to the zoo. I called up the curator. I want to see his two stomach thing. Sure, yeah. Had it in the freezer. Had a big chazer, size of his table, right there. and it was opened, it was dissected, and sure, the stomach, he took a look. I said, did you cut open the stomach there? He said, yeah, the backside, I turned it over, the backside's cut open, you take a look. It's an hourglass-shaped stomach. That's all. A stomach with a band around it. But the same stomach, in other words, fully connected. Looked like two stomachs. But it could have been a deformity. It could have been maybe that subspecies has such a stomach. But there's Shalit Bolomo Yudea. There's only one chaza, right? If you're a chaza and you want to show off that you have one kosher simen by sticking your foot out, right, as a Yiddish expression, what? Chaza fishul kosher. His guy is a chaza fishul kosher, right? He makes believe he's kosher. Like the chaza makes believe he's kosher by sticking his foot out. See, I'm a kosher animal. Yeah. But you're not kosher, you're a chaza.
Does every animal that eats cellulose chew its cud?
No. No. Horses also eat.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbits, taka, eat all cellulose. Right.
Okay.
How they manage to get the food digested in cellulose, the same way, largely bacteria do it, but without that separation of stomachs, fermentation, stomach. A rabbit does something which I once wrote that may be malagera. It practices, learn a new word, coprophagy. C-O-P-R-O-P-H. It eats its feces once again. All five became dentists, and all five became members of my shul in Munsey. About Hachtov was one of them. He's also captain of the basketball team here, and he ran the Granite Hotel for Pesach. Some of you may be familiar with it. And now it's called the Hudson Valley something hotel. Unfortunately, he went to visit children there at Chisholm and had a major heart attack. That's a member of my shul who left yesterday for Eretz Yisrael. He promised me he'd go to the hospital first thing and find out what's happening. Okay.
You're mentioning the rabbit.
So rabbit practice coprophagy. What rabbit does there is when it defecates, it remembers where it defecates. Comes back a day later and eats that stuff again.
Why? There's no nutrients left.
Because he has seichel. Right? During that day, the bacteria in the feces digested the cellulose more. So that's an act actually of malagela. So I wrote that in the Shiva publication. It's not the maligela of a cow, it's maligela, it chews again what it chewed once before. You know. But I believe I like my first shot that the Chopin al Nevis represents the Camelide. Trouble is, everybody who's written, including the Eretz Yisrael people who did a lot of work on the Mishnah, on the animals of Eretz Yisrael and so on, none of them identified as a rabbit, by the way. They all identified as these rodents, different kinds of rodents. The prairie dog, woodchuck, etc. All for different from the rodent family for Shofar Nevis. But none of them identified as rabbit, by the way. Whereas nowadays it's all the little ones who are going to the Yeshiva system. The Rebbe teaches Shofan is a horse, is a rabbit. Yeah. But that no one ever said it was a rabbit.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Is Vaikuna from the new world or the old world?
The what?
Vaikuna, new world or old world?
Yeah. Who knows? Well, really, as long as you can't eat it, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. Let's go a little further, and then we will want to switch off. Amar Shmuel, Chelev Shalahemsis, Ubeis HaKosos, those are the two of the stomachs, Asurim V'Onesh Kores. Zeu Chelev Shalakereb. That's what the Pasuk says, Chelev Shalakereb, you bring on a Mizbeach, referring to the chelev on the hemsis and kosos. There's no part of the animal that's called kereb. Kereb means inside. Chelev shal kereb. Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Hai Tarbo de klibusto. Okay. I'll give you a good word to translate this one. The evolutionists claim that man has a bone in his spine, a cossyx, that has no function. It's a leftover from a tail of a from the previous evolutionary epochs. Right? Everybody knows that the function of a cossyx is critical. It prevents you from slipping off the chair when you fall asleep during a shiur. Right. Very important there. Anyway, klibusta is a cossyx. Okay.
So it's your tailbone, is it?
Hai tarbo de klibusta, the fat that's over the cossyx, is also the onus koris. That's chelev that should be nikel gav mizbeach. Zeu chelev shal haksolim. That's part of the chelev that's on the wall of the animal. It extends down to the end of the vertebra, right? The abdominal wall of the animal has covered a layer of fat, right? That layer of fat is the chelev shalak solim, that's nikram gabim zveyach. I'll go just one more line or two, introduce the next, really a little bit the next topic. Extension, but next topic. What's the next topic, really? And that is, there were other chutim. Right now we had knuknus is chuti gid anoshe. Right? Then we have a problem with what's called chelev. The next problem is, what's called chuti dam that have to be removed or treated, better loshen, that you have to do something with it. The butcher today, right, most of his so-called treibering, right, as I told you, is only chutidam. Since we don't use this hind quarter of the animal, and because at the 13th rib, it leaves almost no chelev of him to worry about. There's some kabbalah, remove some streaks of fat, I don't know where the mocker is, but it's a kabbalah and people do it. But otherwise, the key treibering is removing major blood vessels. Now the pshat for major blood vessels is very simple, because they contain blood in them, and that blood that's in there, that's blood. That blood doesn't go away, but it doesn't go away unless you are going to broil, barbecue the whole animal, or the whole shoulder of the animal. If, however, I'm going to cut slices of steak, right, and it makes no difference that there are chuti dam. Obviously, the blood will run out. The chut itself, you have to understand, the vein itself, the artery itself, right, is treated in the halacha as absorbed with blood. Therefore, that artery, that blood, has to be treated. How do you treat it? You salt the meat. You salt the meat, it takes out the blood from there too. If you don't salt the meat, right, there, you want to eat the meat, what's that called? Tartare steak, T-A-R-T-A-R-E, which is plain English, means raw meat. There, then you have a problem. There. Otherwise, we really have no problem, unless you're going to make a gdi mekulos. Alright? So, I just get you the next line, and we'll move off. I want to say something on the settler and on the shofar. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, Hai Tav and the Kibusa, also Baruch Kovis. Say, Achir, Amar Abba, Ve'yomar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, Hutin Shebiyad, Asur. The Hutin in the Yad, right? So Rashi says, look at Rashi's language, unbelievable. What are they? Everybody knows what they are. Shonu Notlin Minakosev, that which we remove from the shoulder meat. A butcher knows he can buy a shoulder of meat, right? He has to remove something from them. That's the chutin we're talking about. As I told you, they are chuti dam. Chutin shebiyad asurin. Amar Rav Safra, Moshe. Moshe, Rashi says, is a idiomatic expression meaning Talmud Chacham. They called that Talmud Chacham, my name Moshe. Moshe, mi omer rachman or sechel bischa? Why you have to remove it? It's part of the meat. The Torah didn't say you can't eat meat. You can't eat chelev, we just learned. But meat you can eat, why do you have to remove it? Amar Rabbah, Moshe, mi omer rachman or echel dama. So Rabbah answered, Talmud Chacham, right, the blood is also in the meat. Yet the Kaddish Baruch didn't say you can eat blood. Therefore, since you can't eat blood, that's why we can't eat the chuti dam. Right? Therefore, chotre umoche, if you cut it and salt it, right? Then afilu legedera namashapidomi. Then after that, you can just cook it in a pot of water. I don't have to broil it. The Gemara is hinting at telling you. You had another eitzah, you can just broil it without salting it. Broiling also takes out the dam, right? Like we do with liver. Liver, you can't salt. We say kovet is kula dam, so salting doesn't help. The only thing that works is tzliya, is broiling it.
So that's why, like, let's say a medium rare steak.
I'm sorry?
That's why, like, a medium rare steak is, like, okay, even if it, like,
Because it's after salting.
After salting, right.
Once it's salting, the blood,
it's not blood.
That's left in, that's kosher blood. That's dam shebe volum, that's good. Yeah. That's after.
Even if, like, what we were speaking.
But I want you to know, I grew up, and I'm sure most households too, we had two broilers. Broilers were in the oven, but two wire broilers, one for making liver and one for broiling meat. And the liver one, right, there could be used when my father Zatzal picked up a heart condition. They told him to go on a low salt diet, so they shouldn't serve salted meat. So the butcher would pick up from the butcher meat before he salted it. And then you broiled it. You broiled it using the wire that you use for liver. Right? That was called the trefa wire, and that was the kosher wire. The trefa wire was because it has dam in it before salting. And the kosher one is after salting. After salting, it would, like putting a kosher meat on a trefa pot. In a trefa pot, yeah. Nowadays, most people don't eat liver, period. Except when they go to a chasen bar mitzvah, they eat chopped liver. The liver didn't make it somehow. Again, when I was growing up, liver was a normal thing you served. Some meal, steak of liver. Nowadays, you couldn't sell it, most likely, to kids. They serve it here.
You can get it over on in Key Food on Broadway.
Yeah, what day?
You can get roasted liver.
Roasted, but no, nobody roasts it anymore.
At home,
they buy it ready made. Yeah,
I
by us too. They sell And, but it's usually chicken livers, not beef liver. Yeah. And chicken liver is made by frying with onions, so that to hide the taste of the liver. Yeah. Okay, that's good. We made some progress. So you got nice in yonim here. Let's stop here. I want to. Time for the shofar thing, but. I promise you. I'll start with the shofar a little bit. Let me just read to you the opening comment. I told you this is from Moshe Sternbuch. He also wrote Moadim Uzmanim. Okay. By the way, if you've never read it, it's in the Kisrei Ramban. If anyone has the two-volume Kisrei Ramban, it's the Droshes Ramban the Rosh Hashanah. He published it here again. Very important analysis of Hilchot Shabbos. It also gives you an insight. This is the Drosha he gave on Rosh Hashanah. You can imagine who his audience was. You try to get away with such a Drosha today on Rosh Hashanah, you'd be looking for a job after Rosh Hashanah. Here's where he makes that observation, Raman. Shabbos shall Torah Hechen Havi. What did Shabbos Midoraisa look like before the Rabbanon messed it up? Odom, he says, Roche Val Suso, jumps on a horse on Shabbos. Posea Chanuso, he opens up his store. The Akom Yoshe Bitsiro Bekosev, and Agoy is on the side, he's writing down the transactions. Zui Shabbos Hamura Batora, riding a horse is the Rabbanon also. Business of the Rabbanon also. Amir Alak was the Rabbanon also. So what did God ask? It's a Shabbos Shotorei Rabbi. Very, very important observation in La Haloche. Right? What does he say? All the Rabbanon did was put an Isur the Rabbanon on top of an Isur Asei of Shabboson. The Lamentas Malachos, right? You get Malchus for that. Malchus Malachos is a Chal Shabbos Moshumos, right? But there's another Chi of Shabbos of Shabboson. It should be Shabbos. Jumping on a horse and opening up your business and a goy riding is not Shabbos. Therefore, midaraisa it was also, but also al Shabbaton came in the Rabbanon and put a Isur the Rabbanon, made an Isur Rabbanon where you can give Malchus with the Rabbanon for it. Oh, just I mentioned just the first thing. This ha'ora, real halacha lemaisa, a significant observation. Let me read you his lashon. Mitzvos tkios mikaymin rak sheshomin hakol mirosh vatzof. A fellow blows, a batkeya blows a tkia. Especially the Tkiah Gedola at the end. Oh, he's blowing. Many of the people are saying already the Yerotzon before he finishes the Tkiah. They heard enough of the Tkiah. They're saying Yerotzon, that people say, why, I don't know, but they see in between. They shouldn't. It's a hefsek. They lose the mitzvah Tkiah shofixes. Atilu shoma kashir Tkiah. In the Yotze at Sheshomea Hasof Mamish, Vakol Ein Medaitikin Klaubazer, Dich Sheshomu Kvar Kishir, Memarin Loma Hairozon, Vein Noagin Lahamtin Al Hasof Mamish, Prat Bitkir Gedola, Altein Nochon Lazirom, the Rav should teach this to the people, Lifnesha Tokin, Shemabatan Bazer Mitzvah Seidoraisa. if you don't hear the va makri, our meaning is there's a makri, someone who calls out kio shvorim truo, right? Kishem margesh emiru miksosav roshom alasom, when he hears that the fellow is still blowing and he hears already the people are mumbling the yirotzon al kein lo yotzu bit kiyah shel acher, then yirmol the togeya lazul et kiyah shel fanei adavka, to ask him to go ahead and repeat the tkiyah, right? Shel fanei adavka. What does he say? He holds that you lose the whole line, right? That if you don't hear a tkiyah lachreho, because the mitzvah is to hear a truah with a tkiyah lefanei and a tkiyah lachreho. If you didn't hear the tkiyah lachreho, you lose the whole line, right? And therefore, you should ask the batkeya to repeat tkiyah, truah, tkiyah. Right. No, not everybody passes like that. I told you, when I mentioned him, I said, every chumrah you can possibly listen to, but nevertheless the observations are critical. That halacha that you have to hear a kol mitchilosa v'atzofo, that's surely deraisa, that's not a chumrah. Yeah. Whether you have to repeat the whole line or just repeat the tkiyah lacher, that's a separate thing. Yeah, just one more chumrah, then I want to say something on the set. He says sometimes about tkeya, all the years I've been about tkeya myself, Baruch Hashem, I have help from my son who reversed roles. He basically, he and my president, they share, Larry Ross, they share the keys. I come in just to maintain a tradition. Usually I take the keys, the miyusho, and then leave the rest for them to do. The need to know what tekiah you're hearing. There's a mitzvah to know that it's a tekiah of Honeha. Remember, the mitzvah is only 9 kolos, tekiah, truah, tekiah, 3 times. That's the ikar mitzvah. How he got up to 100 kolos, we'll talk about. It's known as inflation. Yeah. But you have to know. There's a tkiel of Honeha, tkiel Acher. He brings a good raya that the tkiel of Honeha, tkiel Acher, right, is critical. Therefore, imagine about tkeya, he goes ahead and he blows the tkiel Acher, and the Balmakri doesn't like it. It didn't come out clear, as they say. Kol poshut, very difficult thing to get a kol poshut. Right. What's a kol poshut? A tkiyah that doesn't have a break in it. Once it breaks, it becomes truah or shvorim. Therefore, a tkiyah is not so easy to make. Most baltkeyah do not, you're not racing it with their tkiyahs. Why? Most baltkeyahs blow a tkiyah, ta'u is not good. The tkiyah has to be tu, not so easy. To start off and keep it at the same thing. Right. So you see, most Baltkeya, that's how they do, that's how we're taught incorrectly. The tkiya, t'u is not a tkiya. Okay. So that's been two. So the makhi didn't like that last tkiya. So he motions to him, repeat it. The people, however, think he's already on the next tkiya. They didn't realize that he's finishing this tkiyah achona, right? The tkiyah achreha. They think it's a tkiyah lefoneha, right? He Tain is a good raya from the Rishonim he brings. I'll share it with you next time. Right. That you're not Yotze with such a tekiah if you don't know that it's a lachel for now. Therefore, the Makri has a greater responsibility, right? To let the people know that what we're doing is we are repeating the last tekiah, which was not acceptable, but it's a tekiah lachel. It's not a tekiah for now for the next close. Okay? Let's stop here. Let me share with you the